think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Dave Ebert and his colleague Peter Earle, both from AIER, publishing in the American Spectator something that has been very made clear to me these last years. The national debt exceeding $30 trillion. No solution is possible except one. Congress has to stop spending too much money. Stop spending money entirely. Just cut it out. And where can they start? Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. You're identifying education as a policy that Congress loves to boast about because it makes everybody smile. The Department of Education is breakthrough science and the best we have of research about how to raise young Americans for the future. Except, Dave, I start with you. The Department of Education is not in charge of the universities. That's a separate entity. The Department of Education, we can ring fence it because it involves itself with primary education. At the same time, universities take the key from the Department of Education for what should and should not be rewarded. I'll ask a very simple question to start with, Dave. Why, when I entered college in 1966, was the tuition for one semester $1,900? And today, I don't even know how many zeros I should add to that. What happened, Dave? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening to you too, John. It's so great to be with you tonight. So when it comes to college, what we find is that Congress has consistently plowed more and more money into this institution with the audacious or the auspicious goal of trying to help people. Who could possibly argue against getting people more education? The problem I see, John, is that we've also restricted the number of colleges and universities that can open, thus restricting the supply of college education writ large. Now, it doesn't take an economist to understand that when you put more money in people's pockets that they can only spend on education, that's going to boost the demand dramatically. And when supply is artificially constrained through accreditation practices and other regulatory burdens, all you're going to get, John, is higher prices. And that's exactly what we've seen in college tuition over the past 40 years.
Pete, the American Institute for Economic Research, you're a happy member, makes it very easy to see these numbers and understand what's gone wrong with the costs of higher education and primary education, both directions. And this is uniformly published everywhere in America. You're publishing in American Spectator. Does Congress read these facts? Do they push back? Do they say you're wrong? Anything like that, Pete?
Good evening, John. No, they don't. I mean, the reason why we see some of these circumstances where governments seek to, you know, influence the demand side and leave the supply side unaddressed or vice versa is because, you know, Congress has incentives just like all individuals and organizations do. And they seek to offer big programs that really show identifiable sort of benefits and that are showy, that are visible. A lot of the ways of really impacting these problems would be to affect either the supply side by lowering regulations, that sort of thing. But that's not really visible enough. And also many of the groups who are behind or who benefit from those controls on the supply side, you know, benefit because because it restricts supply and it raises prices. So no, there's no acknowledgement of this. It's kind of an open secret that this is the way policies work. And it works this way because of, you know, incentives that are faced by Congress in terms of the different, you know, interest groups and some of their backers, but also because, you know, these are things that voters can see. And there are things that are more showy than some of the changes that could affect more positive change for consumers and American citizens.
Dave, you mentioned the other policies that Congress spends money on extravagantly and takes credit for. The one I want to feature here is health care. Congress loves to regulate health care and spend money on health care in all directions, especially for the so-called, you know, the working poor. And yet the costs have risen so dramatically that it's now, I think, 19% of our economy, with a great number of jobs growing into the future. And China and Congress shows no interest whatsoever in containing costs or getting more for their dollar. Why not? Is there a reason they talk about?
Yeah, absolutely, John. So when people can't afford something because the price is too high, that's indicative to economists like Pete and myself that there's a shortage of that good available. The solution to that is to create more capacity. But what Congress does instead is stuff people's pockets with additional dollars at the expense of the American taxpayer. This is exactly what we've seen out of the Affordable Care Act over the last 10 to 15 years, and really every healthcare reform that we've put in place. When you put more money in people's pockets, they're going to spend that money on that good. And that's exactly what we've seen. The alarming thing, though, is that in the healthcare sector, despite all this incredible spending that's happened over the last 15 years especially, we have not seen a spike or really an appreciable increase in the number of people working in the healthcare field. The rate of growth, according to the BLS, has been about 2 to 2.5% per year, both before and after the Affordable Care Act. Now, why is that, John? It's because we've created artificial bottlenecks throughout the education sphere for training the next physicians. That's restricting the amount of people that you and I can go see. And again, it's only going to drive prices up even higher. This is what the Kaiser Family Foundation found, is that in premiums over the last 10 years have jumped by 96%. Now, it doesn't take an economist to point out that the quality of healthcare that we're getting for almost twice as much money has not doubled in those 10 years.
So Congress has what you gentlemen wittily call in your Spectator piece, the reverse Midas touch. Housing. Pete, let's go to housing. Your list, zoning limits, environmental reviews, density caps, construction sector bottlenecks, and good old NIMBY. How does that create higher costs and does Congress care?
Sure. So housing policy extends credit and it subsidizes mortgages, all of that, you know, hoping to improve ownership access or the American dream of home ownership. But all that does is mainly fuel bidding wars over the existing stock of housing, which isn't increasing as rapidly. So when the housing supply is fixed or slow to grow by such things as zoning requirements, environmental reviews, permit delays, density limits, all that sort of thing. Essentially, all the additional buying power that's provided by these congressional measures on the demand side simply capitalizes into higher prices. And that's a point, you know, even mainstream housing economists acknowledge. Politically, it works because in the short term, individuals can borrow more. But economically, all it does is to accelerate the inflation of housing and land prices.
And war on drugs. This is clever. Because it hadn't occurred to me that Congress is driving this. There's the supply side and the demand side. How does Congress get it backwards, Dave?
Yeah, so in this one, Congress is getting it backwards by trying to push on the supply curve. But here, what we note in the piece is that people are really seeking the use of these substances, not for the substance itself, but as a sort of escapism. They're trying to get out of something in their life, which we should try to address. And unfortunately, John, they're seeking substances. Now, the problem with seeking substances is myriad. But from an economic policy standpoint, it's very difficult to legislate away all the particular options that someone might have if they're going to go down that road. So as a result, when you introduce these supply side interdictions, you don't actually reduce the amount of drug use hardly at all. All you do is spend a lot of money on very showy things like DEA busts, blowing up ships off the coast of America, right? And all these other things that are high profile and look incredible on TV, but they don't actually do much. The demand side, reducing people's desire to seek these substances in the first place, is significantly less flashy and has the appearance of being soft on crime. So as a result, politicians have a very strong incentive to push on the supply side of this market when really demand side efforts would probably be significantly more effective.
All right, Pete, let's put it all together. And I'll ask the question you do in your essay. How can we explain Washington's consistent pattern of getting this so wrong? What explains it, Pete? Go ahead. We have about a minute.
Sure. So typically, supply-side reforms threaten entrenched interests, right? Loosening zoning reduces homeowners' equity. Expanding residency and physicians' programs threatens physicians' incomes. Deregulating college threatens university incumbents. So essentially, that asymmetry explains decades of policy inertia, despite overwhelming economic evidence that supply expansion, in many cases, would lower prices. In short, the politics of protection beat the economics of affordability.
And Dave, does Congress understand what Pete just said, or do they need more information?
I think Congress does understand it. And the unfortunate thing is, because of all the incentives they face, politicians realize that they don't win votes by being effective. They win votes by looking or appearing effective. Sometimes those two are in line, but when they're not, politicians will side with appearing effective over being effective.
The American Institute for Economic Research, Pete Early and Dave Herbert, writing most recently at The American Spectator. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.